Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James. Good.
And that's Jenna. James.
Yes.
Tell our good listeners the story that is... Oh, that has got Jenna losing her shit.
All right, okay.
Because this needs to be preserved for posterity.
So, I'm not a clever man. I'm just going to preface everything I do in life with that declaration. And when I was a younger man, and not much younger, mind you, my sister and I were burping. And she had a really good burp, and I was like, I'm gonna bowl you over. I'm gonna like burp so hard. And she was like, it's a burp. So what?
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. What? Why is that? So maybe you'll have a better burp. Oh well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I guarantee that it will impress you. And I had a plan. I had a plan of action. I chugged 3 cans of root beer.
Right.
Without burping.
Yep.
Within the space of about 10 minutes.
Gross.
During which she had gotten bored and had wandered off to her room.
Right.
And her door was like cracked open and that kind of stuff. So I wasn't worried about, just because, you know, the friendship that I have with my sister, I wasn't worried about like intruding in her space.
Sure.
So I'm suddenly full and rocket is go. So yeah, Houston has declared launch is beginning. And I just like bam, open the door, and then dragon shout.
Ooh.
And it goes on and just continues, and I'm even surprised, and I think maybe the look in my eyes as I was doing, and it's so loud, and I'm pushing all of this, like trying to deflate an air mattress, and eventually it ceases, but it doesn't end in like the usual burp, like, you know, like, okay, that's out.
Well impersonated.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. And no, it wasn't anything like that. What it instead ended as was a... and then me, panicked, running for the bathroom because it didn't stop.
Right.
When I ran out. And... so then I'm throwing up in her bathroom immediately across the hall. The person on the phone with her at the time said, "What the fuck was that?" And she's laughing both because of the surprise
right.
of just having her door like blown in and like police breached. And
right.
then a shotgun blast of burp, and then me throwing up across the hall. But it was mostly my suffering as I was throwing up across
right.
the hall that was making my big sister laugh at me, right? And
Yay.
So he's like, what was going on? What happened? Is everyone okay? And she's crying. She's laughing at me so hard. And so the only thing that he's getting is just, like, racking sobs and laughter and the sound of me. He could apparently hear me throwing up in the background.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and,
my God.
And eventually he just hung up. And she had to call him back later and explain all that had transpired.
Hmm.
So there's that.
I think you told it better the first time.
Probably. I mean...
Look,
sure.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more raw off the cuff. But,
yeah.
Right.
But that still is... I'm glad we got that recorded.
Right. I'm glad that is recorded so that we can blackmail you with it
let's
later.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Wash that down with something,
yes.
shall we?
Ooh.
So, speaking of terrible burps...
Yep.
Ooh.
Last week... We came up with something insidious.
You came up with something insidious.
I helped.
The royal we, and also Jenna.
The royal you.
Yeah.
And
the royal me. and
I
also
helped.
So
you as both of you.
Basically, I told you it was coming. I didn't need to chug like three
right.
Ritters.
The royal, which was the origin of me telling
yes.
you that story.
The royal you is apropos of nothing, but fuck not me.
Yes.
All right,
anyway,
so,
what is it?
This is a theater floor, or a movie theater floor. It's buttered popcorn vodka. Two shots of buttered popcorn vodka in a pint glass. Topped off with 5 Mike and Ikes and Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So let's find out.
It's going to be like licking a movie theater floor.
For science.
Wait. Ding.
Oh my God, I can smell the butter. I can smell the butter.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm going through all 5 stages of grief right now.
Right.
No, I've achieved acceptance.
It's not bad in the traditional sense.
I need to hold on.
Yeah.
Oh God, what did you do now? What's happening?
I need to know.
Yeah, what this tastes like just off the cuff?
Yeah. Right. I need to taste just a little shot of buttered popcorn vodka.
I'm gonna do the same. Do you want to try just a?
I think I would like to try. I'm gonna take salsas.
All right. Well, that is not quite what I was expecting.
Right.
But now, right. Yeah.
Well, we'll just have us a snort.
All right.
That is some weird stuff right there.
Oh God.
Well, that's what's advertised.
Oh, yeah.
That is. Yep.
Now having tasted the shot of that. It is better on the theater floor.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you're welcome, question mark?
Oh, my God.
Thank you, mother-in-law.
Like, no. This came from mud.
This is the mud.
Yeah, thank you, mud.
Thank you, Stuffins.
The buttered popcorn is, like, sticking to the roof of my mouth.
Yeah.
It is. That's how.
I got, like, this film on the roof of my mouth.
I think I have a kernel stuck between my teeth. I don't know how that happened.
Do you guys, when you drink like cranberry juice, you get that little film on the roof of your mouth?
Yeah.
It's kind of that film, except it's pop, like powdered
film,
powdered butter, flavor
movie film.
It's wow. Well, no, that's a thing we drank.
All right.
Honestly,
I would probably have another one.
I want to try the buttered popcorn with Dr. Pepper. That is still the ultimate goal.
I think it will be
is to have
dramatically
that.
Improved. We also have a choice of candies.
Oh?
Yeah, we put the Mike and Ikes in.
Sweet Tarts as well.
Yeah, in addition to the Mike and Ikes, we also have these weird Sweet Tart gumdrops
in. And see if that.
Yeah, that actually. Let's do that
probably
now.
Probably won't. Because
that could really.
No, this.
That could change the whole dynamic.
All right. They're like.
Yeah, they're soft.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, like the sugar cube in absinthe.
Okay, doing it.
Okay.
Oh, hey, that's still weird.
Mm. Oh god, that. Bad. Mm. No.
Bad candy.
Oh,
I have so many regrets right now.
It's not the candy, but no, that's not. Oh God, no.
There's a whole lot going on here. We have done 8 minutes. We have done almost 9 minutes on burp joke and this taste bad.
Do you want to know there is a silver lining to this theater floor? These are not genetically modified sweet tart, whipped and tangy candies.
Oh, good.
See? It's stamped.
Well, then.
So, okay. That one was better.
Yeah?
I had the better ratio.
No.
Okay, what is the...
I had...
This is for you,
so
also.
Take one of those.
Okay.
Kind of tuck it in the corner of your mouth. And then only take, like, a couple tablespoons of liquid. And then... bite down while the liquid is in. Yeah, there we go.
That is almost exactly what I tried, and that went no.
No, it's better that way.
No.
No. That's what I'm saying. It's better that way.
I preferred it without.
No, I'm saying if that's the way you tried it the first time, it gets worse.
All right.
God.
Theater.
So
floor.
Anyway,
yeah, it's been almost.
Thank you.
10 minutes,
thank you, Mud.
Yay!
What have people been?
Oh Jesus! Fuck everything. Fringe. There was a lot of Fringe.
Fringe. Happened.
I think that we should limit ourselves in Fringe talk.
Yeah, we have kind of beat that dead horse pretty solid. So.
I will say I did manage to see all of the Fearless affiliated shows.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody did a fantastic job. And I think I'm not sure what my favorite one was. What was your favorite show? Like, not just Fearless affiliated, but like all of them. Oh, there were two Fearless affiliated shows that got encores. So,
oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
A Way to Go, Duck Washington,
and Calvin Hatley.
Yeah,
yeah.
And those shows were
Blackout Improv,
and Absurd Advice.
Yes,
Absurd Advice. So congratulations to those.
Nicely done.
From what I heard all around, Fearless did very well this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Gygax.
I guess three other Fearless adjacent shows were nominated for encores.
Well, nice. It's
or in the running.
Not, in the running for sure.
Tim's Death in Yosemite.
Was in there. Yeah.
Was in there also.
So, I mean, we had two encores and three others that were pretty fucking close.
Yeah, right. Potentially.
So that's not doing too bad for
half of the Fearless shows there.
For a theater company only 5 years old.
I do have a favorite show.
Yeah?
I just, because for me, like, all of the shows that I saw were good.
I have a feeling I might know what it is.
Yeah, I think you probably do.
Yeah.
All of the shows that I saw were amazing, and I would gladly watch them again.
I would say that for most of them.
There is one that was just head and shoulders above.
Right.
It was highly recommended by Duck Washington, and he was 100% correct. It was Dungeon, and it was fucking
incredible.
Amazing.
Oh,
it might
God.
Be one of the most amazing stage presentations I've seen in my life.
A Dungeon was primarily, although not exclusively, shadow puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, the shadow puppetry was amazing, but they also had a bunch of in-person physicality. They did a lot with music. That was incredible.
Everything was lit with flashlights.
Yeah. Like, their stage technician, they must have just been like, yep, just keep it dark. Yeah, all right. Done.
Yeah. Good job, what tech. Music do you guys need played? Yeah, the stuff we're playing on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they did all of that. But yeah, it was... And the world is... they're in this dungeon, and there's all these different monsters or creatures in this world, and they're all done with like flashlights or like flashlight affiliated kind of things. No flashlights. It was way classier than that. Yes. But like, for instance, they had like this inchworm type thing that was like
super so cute.
It was super adorable. But instead, like, so a lot of the creatures were flashlight-based, but this creature was blacklight-based, and they had a flashlight that was a blacklight on it.
Try dropping two of these into your drink.
Oh, God. I'm done. You boys are weird. Yeah. But
salsa. For science.
Anyway, so there was, and the world itself went in between.
Fucking nuts.
three.
The world itself went in between shadow puppetry and real world, and the music was incredible. And they did, my favorite scene was the underwater scene.
That was just
it was incredible.
Fucking the best water I've ever seen on a stage.
How did nobody get electrocuted?
They,
So.
Let me explain theater to you, Salsa. do you want to explain it, James?
Sorry.
It was done brilliantly with the cunning use of flags.
Put that over here.
You're fired. So they had a kind of like a clear plastic, kind of like a painter's tarp, only way thinner.
Well, it was like the kind that you'd see on the side of a building in progress.
Right. And it had like three slits cut in the middle of it.
Vertical.
Yep. So, and I think that helped with airflow, but it was draped off of their backdrop where they did all of the shadow puppetry stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two people on either side making it move. And they did this incredible, The Tide actually is what got me first.
Yeah,
like they actually did like a, so it went back and forth a bit.
So it was suspended from the top two corners of the backdrop, like Jenna had said.
Flow.
And then they had two stage ninjas, because it was one live actor and then a fleet of stage ninjas who would do things like whenever he called something out loud in the cavern, he would say hello, and then all of them would bounce the hello around. So each one of them would say hello, 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 hello.
Except that they had that echo down perfect.
Yeah. Yes,
like,
it was
fucking perfect. It sounded like an echo.
And they had two of them at the front of the stage, each holding a corner of that plastic sheet and just slowly moving it toward the edge of the stage and then back toward the screen and toward the edge of the stage. And so it would gather and then flatten and drop. So it looked like the tide coming in.
And it really did, too. But they also, like, so there was an actor that the character in this jumped into the water. And so they lifted it up, and he gets under there, and he's like, and first of all, he like pops through one of the slits in the thing, and he does this thing where it looks like he's treading water, and he's got one arm out of the slit, one arm underneath, and it just made this beautiful, incredible effect of like somebody treading water. But then when he dove down, they lifted the screen up, and he was swimming like basically airplane style on somebody's feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you lift kids up and you do airplane, like that. Only he was like swimming like that.
So
it was
based
incredible.
On your description, have you seen Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I?
I have not.
Like the scene where she's doing Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yes.
For the king and the evil king drowns and they go across the river. Was it similar to that?
It really depends on which.
The Yul Brynner version.
The Yul Brynner version. I think. So it's been a very long time since I saw the movie,
but that's what I'm picturing.
Okay,
I have no idea. For I can neither
kind of like that, but you can't see anything on stage except the actor, the one actor who's swimming, and the water that is now being held above him.
Right,
and then
yeah.
there's this dazzling light effect behind
but
him.
I'm kind of what I'm kind of picturing is this curtain in front of the basically the stage hands. Which is the water, and then him being suspended on people's shoulders or whatever it is, so he appears to be floating.
Kind of.
Maybe. It's not, I mean, it's probably a similar idea effect, but it doesn't sound right compared to what we saw.
Even though you could see how they were doing everything, the effect was amazing. It's just like, you know, you can see
the... a kabuki theater.
Yeah, you can see the puppeteer, but you don't care. You're watching the puppet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the they did some of the most dramatic and surprising things with shadows. At some point, somebody gets dragged across the stage by a shadow, and it is executed perfectly. And in the moment, like, it was a super tense moment. And then being surprised by that was incredible. But yeah, fuck. I loved that occasionally, in order to go through the dungeon, the actor would have to dip out to the middle of the audience and run through one of the rows.
Yes.
And there was like,
I was in the row that he would run through. And, like, other people around me were like, would reach out and just, like, touch him briefly. And that's what he was freaking out to. It wasn't even, like, it was only when somebody touched him.
Yeah.
But, you know, people played just enough.
Mm-hmm.
Also, every time he went through that portion, he kept complaining about the stench, which was fantastic.
But, like, it was a super, super basic story, but the presentation made it incredible. And it felt like a childhood adventure.
Yeah. I felt very Hungarian folktale about it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting description.
God, the three lights. On the floor.
No, there's four lights.
Oh, yeah.
Swear to God.
So when they wanted to put a hole in the stage that the actor would have to interact with...
Giggity?
I had a date like that once.
You had a mystery date
once. Anyway, they would use flashlights to make a circle on the floor. And what they did, so they had one person with a flashlight real close. So they had, you know, smallish, but except like a manhole size hole. And then he jumped over that, and right in front of him, another hole appeared that was larger. Like, they held the flashlight up a bit more, so it was a larger spread of light.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, fine, he jumps over that one, and then there's a third one that is just massive, and he's like, you've got to be kidding me! Like, just things like that. But, yeah, and it was, he would look back, like, so they would, once he crossed a hole, like, the flashlight would go off,
mm-hmm.
but if he looked back, it would go back on. So, like, you got a lot of, like, interaction that way, and it was super fun.
All four of them, huh?
Jesus fuck.
And the thing that I liked most about it was that there was an internal logic to it. They were telling a very surreal, mm-hmm. very dreamlike story,
mm-hmm.
but it still had an internal consistency. When you would go a particular way...
That is something I appreciate.
Yeah.
It would,
great deal.
Like, you would go through one door and you would come out the wrong door, but every time you went that way, you would come out that same wrong door. Yeah. So he was finding his way through this labyrinth.
Yeah, that is something that I have a hard time with when I accept in theatric or movies or artistic pieces mm-hmm. that this is art, and therefore it doesn't follow necessarily the same rules of our universe, as long as it's consistent with the rules that it itself has set forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I 100% agree. I like things that are able to obey their own internal rules, even if those rules are absurd.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Which is, you know, it's like Portal. Portal is based on something completely crazy.
Yeah.
But... Mm-hmm. It obeys its own rules.
Yep.
Katamari, again, obeys its own rules very strictly.
I need to play some Katamari.
Yeah, Katamari is really good.
That is really good.
Yeah. So
we have We Heart Katamari and...
So...
I should play that.
I think that... Was that also your favorite?
Yeah, that was also my favorite. Like, hands down, it was the best thing ever. Although, Fruit Flies Like a Banana?
That probably was a close really second. Amazing. So
did this one make it to Encore?
Yes. Yep. Okay. That was the only way that I got to see it, was that it was Encore.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
It was the sixth show I saw that day.
Oh.
I had booked it the night before, because they had a 10 o'clock the night before, and I had booked it from where I was, and I got, like... Everything aligned perfectly. I got like a parking space right away and this, mm-hmm. that, and the other. Nope, sold out.
Yeah.
And I must have missed it by like three people.
Yeah. Well, and I remember I was going to rush there with someone and try to catch it just in case.
No.
You know, whatever. And then I got to the parking garage to get my car out of there, and there was a 15-minute line to get outside.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And I looked at my date and I was like, and she was like, I'm tired.
Yeah. Like, no, you guys made a wise decision.
Yeah.
Fruit Flies Like a Banana. I want to talk about
Go ahead and hit that one. Definitely.
Because they are definitely my second favorite. Okay. It was, and Salsa, you would have appreciated this so much.
Mm-hmm.
They did music. It was straight up music with all of this showmanship ever. It was ridiculous and silly and showy and just fucking incredible. They had one guy that played the trombone, one guy that was like the general percussionist, and a chick that played the flute. And they did like dancing. They came in, like their entrance was on those little, like, not hoverboards, but like the little like,
no, those are hoverboards.
Handlebars. No, they're. I think they're technically like
scooter.
They're almost segways. Like segways, but they don't.
But
they're called hoverboards.
When they're the two, I thought they told the two me parallel. Else, but they, yeah,
it may have been a different band
name. Front and back.
There's no handle. It's just the two wheels and the board. Although it's like,
and then it pivots in the center so that you can turn.
Yeah.
And you just lean forward to go forward, lean back to go back.
Oh, yeah. That's the
2016 hoverboard.
They told me it was like a type of Segway, but...
Right. And it is.
I thought you were talking about ripsticks for a second.
No. James, do you want to talk about that? Well, let me start.
So what was the point of the...
It's music. It is a concert.
To play amazing music.
Okay, that's
all and their performances were fucking amazing. They did performances for all of these different places.
Starting with the hoverboards.
Okay,
they came in. Let me set this up first. Yeah. So they come in on these hoverboards, mm-hmm. and they do, like, basically dance maneuvers, like weaving in and out.
A series of drills.
While playing their instruments. And basically doing all of this movement-based stuff on these things.
It was like the Blue Angels, but more impressive.
So what this sounds like is an OK Go video.
I mean, kind of.
But like if it was on a stage and not with video. But, well,
but it sounds like a live.
Far less okay, like, the mousetrap thing. I can't even just.
Rube Goldberg.
Thank you. Far less of that.
I mean, their first one was just four treadmills.
Yeah. So it would be if you took just that portion of it and not like the 18 million other like camera mm-hmm. effects or things like that. But they do.
It kind of sounds like something that OK Go would think of.
But for an hour with different music from around the world.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Like they had this interactive thing. They had a globe with like stick the stars.
Do not remove
the
stars.
Do not.
We will remove the stars.
Do not remove the stars.
Do not
and
be Manitoba.
The first person starts to remove, and the entire audience just shamed them.
Shame. They were like, "This is why we love Minnesota. You guys shame way more than any other place."
Right. But yeah, so they would just call out the name on the star, and then they would play that piece from wherever it was. So they had like Antarctica, which of course doesn't have its own cultural thing, but a piece based off of that. I don't know if you knew, but Antarctica doesn't have native people.
No,
there.
I know. I know that, which is why
you
I'm
just
trying
look
to,
funny.
I was trying to figure out what Antarctica did.
It was like an overture.
They did
like
an ethereal atmospheric piece.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I look confused, because they don't have their own culture, so what would
someone
but, yeah.
music? Someone
and they
had
did
written
like
a piece of music based on what they felt it would be.
I mean, it would be alien music, because the aliens used to live in Antarctica before the spaceship flew away and they gave us pyramids.
When the Earth was still flat.
No, the Earth is still flat.
Right, but it was still flat then.
They also did
live inside the flat Earth.
They also did a tango. While playing their instruments, which was super fun and incredible.
Yes.
And then James got to play on stage.
Yes, I did.
That was funny.
Oh, God.
Describe that experience for us, James.
So, I don't know what piece of music they're about to play, but they ask for volunteers, and I'm stupid. Yep. So, my hand shoots up in the air.
To be fair, I also, like, volunteered, and they pointed in our direction, and I'm like, go.
So I did.
Fuck it.
And I'm a person who I like to believe that I have a moderately good sense of rhythm.
To severe arthritis,
mesothelioma. Yep. If you or a loved one, the
experience
you keep distracting
for
him.
4 hours.
So they handed us these PVC pipes that are a specific length.
Blooming group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes!
Kind of, but it was striking the pipes against the ground.
Tubulum.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep.
So, two of us sat side by side, and we just hit the pipes in order. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, three, two, four.
Fuck.
One, two, three, four.
Okay.
And it was because I have no practice with what they were doing, and because I didn't know what was about to happen, it was.
Also, Deuter in front of you did not know how to keep a beat.
So, we did okay on the slow portion of what ended up being Carol of the Bells. Right.
I do too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So we were.
And it was amusing this way.
Bum, 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 bum,
and that was the part. No, your part was bum, bum, bum. Basically the bass line.
And but they were like counting off as they were doing the first little bits to keep us in, and we did fine for the first part, and they're like, okay, a little faster. And guy next to me speeds up and
like
bum, 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 bum,
it took
bum,
a little faster to mean, oh my god.
And so
like,
I'm
go
keeping
now.
Up with him, and I can't hear what they're doing. I can, like, every, I'm, like, we're going
are you telling
too
me,
fast.
Are you telling me that a drummer is going to speed up?
No, it wasn't the drummer. It was another audience volunteer. It was another audience.
That is a universal truth, that a drummer will speed up.
Yeah,
so,
but.
The,
maybe he was a drummer. I don't know.
And then the guy next to us was like, no, ramp it back. Don't just hold it. Just back a little. And then he slowed down. And then we were doing more of a moderate pace between the two rhythms that he had set. And then he kept wandering off of it. But then I was trying to keep up with him. And I was like, no, he's not right. Who do I do this? But we just kept bloody-mindedly hitting our way through it, and
which I'm sure they were fully aware of.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And the audience was dying.
Oh, it was delightful.
Watching this confusion occur. And,
yep.
Yeah. So it went terribly, and everyone loved it.
Awesome. I love Carol of the Bells. I was kind of sad that it got fucked up, but if it was going to get fucked up in any way, that was the most delightful way to have that song fucked up.
Me too.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Did either of you spend time at Fringe Central?
I never made it there.
I'm
surprised.
The one night I was going to... Well... Fringe Central was held at Grumpy's Downtown, mm-hmm. which I have a wide variety of associations with.
Okay.
Some of it is just the place is kind of but also mm-hmm. Bill and I used to do comedy there.
Oh,
so
okay.
like it was like if I'm gonna go maybe okay. one night, and so I was gonna do it Saturday, only they were carting at the door, and the friend from out of town that I was with was not old enough to go into a carded bar.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to ask about the atmosphere at...
I basically spent the entire time building myself up to try to do that and then didn't and felt relieved afterwards.
Well,
so,
let's
yeah.
talk about something else.
Yeah.
I did get to hang out at the Republic, which was like alternative Fringe Central.
Which was Fringe Central for everybody
Fringe
who just...
Central Fringe?
Yes. Just like that. And it is where we had, like, Fearless got together one night and hung mm-hmm. out there.
Yep.
And we just took over a couple picnic tables and we're like, fuck it, this is ours.
It was
now.
The we do what we want, motherfuckers, Fringe
because
Central.
That is that is based on my understanding of Fringe, because as has been established in past years, Fringe is something that I still haven't broken into, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That
one's open, I think, is why James was...
That one's open, too.
Okay.
So it is.
Fringe is something that I have yet to kind of get into the culture. I've tasted it a couple
times.
Here's
the thing. You might want to just hold off a bit until the kids are a little bit older.
And that's what I'm doing is like, there was, what was this, 4 or 5 or 6 years ago when I did the show with Bill... And you and...
That was 2013.
Okay. Oh, so it's been a good 5 years.
That tastes like a medicine, but I'm not sure which one.
It is Dr. Pepper.
But but there was that, and then there was last year where I hung out at Fringe Central an evening, and I went and saw the singing show. I don't remember what it was called.
I have no idea.
Eric Thompson was involved in that one.
Oh, was it the
it was this
Gilligan's Island?
No,
it was the improv one.
Oh, yeah.
The improvised singing.
Improvised.
Yes, improvised.
There we go.
Yeah.
But hanging out at Fringe Central, I got the very distinct impression, and I've heard this before, that is like theater concentrate in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Like, everybody who is anybody that does theater in the Twin Cities 365 days a year, that is, like, the condensed, abridged version of theater in the Twin Cities right
even
there.
Even, like, super uppity actors mm-hmm. will get permission from, like, SAG or whatever to be able to do theater. Cause
Guild, or not,
yeah.
not Guild.
Tim Uren was there, story checks out.
Not Guild.
From prior, if you're involved
union,
with theater.
Union actors.
Yeah, even them, they'll get special mm-hmm. permission from their unions to get underpaid to do Fringe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, that is, from what I understand, like, even just hanging out at Fringe Central for an evening... Is like you meet everybody.
Yes.
You make connections and everything like that. So,
and there were quite a few people that still went to the Republic regardless, who may have had similar and or grosser associations with the Fringe Central this year.
Well, one of these years.
Yeah.
It's also just spacier. The food's better. Mm. Like, you can be outdoors.
It is in the middle of all of the theaters that form the hub.
Yeah. So, yeah. There was a thing that happened at the Republic I could talk about real quick.
Okay.
We were hanging out. It was actually the... maybe it wasn't the Fearless thing. Anyway, we were at the picnic tables again because we just clumped largely in that group. And
we're like kitty litter. We kind of clump.
Yeah.
With.
So I was hanging out at a table with Tim Wick and the fruit flies, like bananas people.
Uh-huh.
And Tim's show and fruit flies. Go ahead.
So where are they from?
I don't remember. Like Massachusetts, maybe. Okay. They travel all over. Like they tour different fringe festivals.
Okay, well that's so, because earlier you had said you Minnesota people know how, and I was like, wait a second, they're not.
No, they're not local.
Here. They're a road show.
Okay. They definitely are. I think they do it for like a couple months out of the year or something. Okay,
they were so fucking nice too.
Sorry that.
Well, and so that gets into my story. Okay, that both Tim's show Death in Yosemite, which also was incredible, and their show were in the running for the encore spot.
Okay.
In their shared venue. And I got to witness them making a deal wherein if Tim's show got in, there was a specific part in Death in Yosemite where Tim and Benjamin Damask cross the stage as bears. And they just go, bear, 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 bear.
And they were going to have a cameo.
And they, yeah. So the Fruit Flies Like Bananas people would instead take the place of the bears and cross the stage going bear, 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 and like get into the food and stuff and whatever and be bears and leave. So that was what was going to happen if Tim's show made the encore. Tim's show did not make the encore. Fruit Flies made the encore. And in return, the deal was if Fruit Flies got in, they would, because of the style of their show, make sure that there was a place where Tim and Wendy could cross the stage as bears and or interact as bears.
Nice.
So Fruit Flies got in. And I think it was Tim, Wendy, and Benjamin Damask dressed as bears. And I think my understanding, because I wasn't there for it because I was at Dungeon, is that they crossed through during the song from Canada. Right? And like played around a little bit or whatever, but yeah, so they had their own cameo in that show, which I find delightful.
I have to, every single year Fringe has way too many shows that I really, really want to see.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Right.
But I really, really honestly have to say the one thing that I regret is not fucking seeing Benjamin Damask performing in that play, because
it was incredible. Everything, he died so many times.
Benjamin so many times. Has been on this show before and was delightful. May he rest in peace.
Many times over due to that show. But yes,
fucking funny as shit.
Yeah, yes, it's fantastic.
And I really wish I could have.
I kind of also hate that he is so young and has so much talent.
I know, right.
Pisses me off.
I had the same feeling when I watched SNL and I realized that the people on SNL who are wildly successful are my age.
Or younger, yeah.
Or younger.
Yeah, they're starting to get close to Jess's age, and now I just feel like I've failed at life.
Is there anything non-fringe related?
I mean, we could just save that for the next segment, really.
Yeah,
at this point.
Just do that.
We've done plenty here.
Freshen our drinks.
Yeah.
Let's do that. All right. Should we take a break then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else anybody wants to cover?
Give me a break.
All right.
Give me a break.
Going once, going twice.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
and
we're having a dance party.
Woo!
I actually haven't had dinner yet, so I'm feeling a little. I'm feeling
theater
this.
Floored.
Yes, quite floored. So, for those of you who are unaware of us and who we are. Guess what, folks? It's that time of year again.
Oh, God. I am so not
Christmas?
Ready.
It's no. Renaissance Festival time.
Woo! I mean, it's kind of
like
Christmas.
Yeah.
All right.
Minnesota Renaissance Festival. So for the next 7 weeks, we, all three of us, are going to be doing that.
Yeah.
You all know how this works. We're going to still be recording weekly because we
hate our bodies.
Remember that when we started this.
I don't know, you guys. Man, I have Monday mornings off again. So, yeah. Oh, and all day the day after Labor Day. Also all day the day after,
I hate you so much.
Oh, we did take off the last Monday.
Oh,
yep. So we are
the
going
both of
to
you,
be.
Did you guys have to like?
I believe so.
Basically, what we're trying to say, dear listener, is you know the
Kirk and
you know the
dead.
Scoop. For the next 7 weeks, that's going to be primarily what we talk about. So, buckle in for that sex.
That sex.
Yeah.
Like
so,
after a day.
We've kind of already established what James is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Jenna, you're doing.
I'm doing the Sigourney thing again. We had. I don't know if I talked about this, but I'll talk about it briefly. We had, due to a series of unfortunate events, uh-oh, not Lemony Snicket based, a lot of our drummers are not drumming this year. And it was one of those, like, you know, so-and-so had family issues, so-and-so had work issues, so-and-so had health, like, this, that, and the other thing. So I'm the only returning drummer of consistency. We've got some people like coming in here and there, mm-hmm, but I'm the only one that's going to be there for every single show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not allowed to like get sick or die this season. That's going to work.
Do those things anyway.
Well, I mean, I had it scheduled for mid-September, but guess I'll have to skip that. Mm-hmm.
Did you make an Outlook meeting?
I did not. It was in Google Calendar.
Then it wasn't really scheduled.
It was in Google Calendar.
Right, but
I mean, I took the day off.
Which of your bosses uses Google Calendar?
I Jessa.
Oh, fair. Legit.
Speaking of, so yeah, I'm doing the same Sigourney thing. So my fest prep is get out the old shit, make sure nothing's falling apart, and go.
And slide downstairs into your dance bra.
Yeah.
As per prior story.
God. But Jess is doing a new character this year. This will be her first year as a female character.
Red.
Which is fantastic and horrifying all at the same time for me as a parent.
Red.
Because Dudes is going to be sexualizing her, and I'm not prepared for that in any way, shape, or form.
No one is.
I'm making her bodice, and I'm like, so how low cut did you want this? And she was like, no, I don't want it. I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, because I would have done it, but yeah, I'm glad that she's like, no.
I'm just imagining like ye olde turtleneck.
I mean, to be fair,
laced all the way up to the eyebrows.
The chemise goes over her head, so it'll be fine. But I haven't done like a bodice, like overskirt. Like this is a merchant style. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done this form of costuming in like, mm-hmm, forever, and I'm relearning things. But I do have a personal point of pride with this thing, is that I am making it out of old drapes that, mm-hmm, I got at Savers.
Nice.
So like, and the way
that's
I've cut
the way
it out
to do it.
The way I've cut it out, like half of it is already, I still haven't put this in yet. Oh. So it's just been waiting. Yeah.
That is literally what she said.
It is. I had a date like that. Okay. But yeah, so I'm relearning how to do a lot of these things, and I'm, mm-hmm, like, I hate putting in grommets. I hate it so much. It's like the bane
like
of my existence.
I love grommets.
I hate it grommeting so much. And then
out
I
some
realized
of salsa frustrations.
I realized, wait a minute, my daughter's 17.
Do this own work.
Yeah, guess she, what you're doing, yeah, little lady.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She can fucking do it for herself.
So that's a lot of my last minute prep, is getting Jess's costume completed. I'm about Halfway done, I think. I would call it at about half, which means I'm going to find all these other things that I forgot I need to do. But for now, that's what it looks like. So
you always get, it's just like camping or going on vacation. You always fucking forget something.
So what is what is she doing? Is she just doing street, or is she
doing... She's just doing street. She is just doing street.
No, no, but man...
That's,
you're just doing street. She's fucking doing street.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Look, she's been nominated for an award every year. One year
she's been part of shows and things like that.
Yeah, different groups.
I wasn't sure what her...
I mean,
what she was doing.
Well, her
this year.
First year she was with McGregor Games.
Yep.
But then as an entertainer, her next year she was with Merely Players, and mm-hmm. she was Andrea's deputy for the sheriff thing.
Yep. Aww.
I know, that was adorable. And then the year after that, she was in the Cinderella group.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing a year? No. What did she do last year?
She was
not squire, but yeah, she was part of that mercenary group.
Okay.
Like lackey, I think is the term that
because he's not a knight. I hadn't actually heard what she was doing this year. If it was street, or she was involved with another group.
This year she is solo on street.
Okay.
Rad.
Which I think is going to be good for her.
What's her character?
So she is doing, she's the daughter of a merchant.
Okay.
But her big thing is questions.
Okay.
So she's going to have,
Wanna play questions?
Ooh, there's plain questions. She's
statement.
Her character is very much so just excited to be out on a festival day, and she wants to learn all of the things, and she's collecting questions and not necessarily answering them, just collecting questions and like asking people these questions she's collected and things like that.
Interesting.
So it's gonna be very fun. I'm also making for her. Oh, I forgot about that part. All right. Add that to the list. shit.
No, by the way, dear listeners, this is something that will be happening until sixth weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I forgot about this thing.
Buy a cloak. It's the last weekend. Yep.
Yep.
You know, for next year, so that I have something to lose and rebuy.
But yeah, so she'll be writing down people's questions. So I've got to make her a quill.
Well, there you go.
Right. And she'll be, and she's going to have different pouches for different things and all this other stuff. And she wants a little board for people to write on. So there's some prop stuff related, but yeah, mostly she's just going to be interacting via questions.
Cool.
Which I think is fantastic. And she'll be doing vilification tennis.
Oh yeah. So, and also that.
Yeah.
James, have you been doing any character work? Do you know what your character is going to be?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we have a name and we kind of know what you're going to be doing, but what's your motivation?
What does Gort live for?
Gort, and especially for the first two weekends, Gort and his cousin, Wart, are going to be searching for knights. We've misplaced ours for any one of a number of reasons, one of which we will give you at a time.
Are you going to be simple, or are you going to be mischievous, or are you going to be
I don't know that God's given me a lot of choice in the matter.
Well,
I think I'm going to be pretty simple.
I'm just kind of wondering what your characterization is.
Well, especially because Wart is already so mischievous and so sort of upwardly mobile, trying to upset the status quo. I think Gort is going to be a lot more, not necessarily quieter, but more trying to keep his cousin out of
trouble.
But usually that means that he's holding on to the tiger's tail, you know?
You're going to be more the foil then.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
A fencing foil?
A defensing foil.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
So, but then, of course, when Gort has a knight, I think Sir Fredward will be there at some point. when it's Gort and Sir Fredward, he's going to be doing his best to put his noble knight through all of the trials required, great and small, to be recognized.
Oh, so you're going to be stirring the pot.
Yeah, with
you're going to be instigating.
A big fucking stick. Yep.
You're going to be the opposite of Sancho Panza.
Yes. Pancho Sansa.
You're a poncho.
Sansa what?
No spoilers. Sansa people bar? Are some people still have not.
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be because I can't really deny my innate desire to be helpful to people. But I can definitely play that for comedy, hoping.
Yeah.
That I can turn that to a more comedic bent, especially where it falls to Kyle, you know? Because that means that I get to be helpful to patrons, but then sort of maliciously helpful to Kyle.
Of course, yeah.
which I'm all about.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
I'm awesome. For it.
I'm looking forward to it. I really, really am. I'm so excited to see what you've got.
Yeah.
And what else are you doing?
And I'm also doing vilification tennis.
What's that? I've never heard of that.
Uh-huh. Bullshit, you say.
It's a it's a very difficult stage performance for very dumb people.
That.
Everybody go to 12:30 at the Bear Stage.
Yes.
Be there.
Before 12:30.
In order to get a spot. And while you're waiting for vilification tennis start, give some love to those Morris dancers.
Fucking yeah. Love those guys.
Before us, because those they're guys wonderful. Are awesome. Yeah, no, it's going to be good. I am going to be doing my...
You want to talk about who you're partnering with?
Oh, yes. I'm going to be partnering with Mana, Saint Mana the Destroyer, who has been on this very show many times. Mm-hmm. Yes. Manifold times.
Don't fold mana.
No.
That's a bad idea.
Giggity?
No.
She folds back.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what you're into... Huh. I'm not judging.
Well, everybody's into something.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've learned something about myself. All right. And so have you. And I'm sorry.
I'm super excited because I'm going to be partnering with Lori at Bill this year.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are going to have the best, dumbest insults ever. No. And don't get me wrong. Her insults are incredible. But sure. The hamster one is dumb. It's incredible.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have the best, dumbest insults
ever. We work very well together because we have, while our personality / delivery is very different, our style does blend very well. And I'm so pumped to vilify with her this year. It's going to be because every time we've
being on stage with her
every
for
time
the
we've partnered before
pure
random
joy.
Draw it has been just a lot of fun, so I'm super looking forward.
I chose her as my pro for the show that got me into the cast, and I could not have been more pleased to be on stage with her.
She is one of those people that quietly is one of the funniest goddamn vilifiers out there. Like, she has won the re-audition show. She has won whenever we have competitions amongst vilifiers of elimination type things, she always comes out on top. She's fucking funny as shit, but she's so unassuming about it. And she just kind of quietly is awesome, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's gonna be I'm
so pleased.
I'm
also incredibly excited to be up on stage with everybody, but also to be one of the three amateurs who are performing.
Yeah,
because it's you and Anna and
Jessa.
Yeah,
I know Jessa doesn't seem like an amateur. She's born to this.
Literally.
Will destroy.
Almost. She was conceived in the middle
of
it.
Everyone.
I mean, I know everybody thinks she was.
Jenna had a date like that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. And then a kid.
From that, a child was born. And the father was Vilification Tennis.
And thus he spake unto them.
Wait, is Vilten her dad? Because yes. Vilten owes me some child support. Like, Vilten, you wouldn't fucking believe.
The circle jerk that is Vilten.
Yeah.
Spooged all over you.
I
and from the
didn't know you could make
seed,
me sound is, sluttier. Yeah. And yet.
You've heard of the Immaculate
well
Conception.
Done.
This is immaculate.
This is just immaculate.
This is just freaking conception.
Weird. Oh my God.
And that is...
I really want to do a preconceived notions joke here, and it's just not coming to me.
That is very funny.
Yeah, it should be, but I couldn't piece it together.
Gross?
Yeah.
Brain pregnancy?
I mean... Mm,
gross.
It's not a tumor.
It's her children can only be preconceived because her husband shoots so early.
Yes. Write it down. Write it down now.
Say it in the
book. Okay.
Write it down now.
Okay.
Write it down now.
I'm writing it down.
Anyway, while he's writing that down, Salsa,
what
talk.
I'm going to be doing Casimir again.
Yes.
After the success that I enjoyed last year, I have a couple stage spots, which I am super excited about. I am going to be on the Grove stage.
I am so excited for you for that.
10:30 a.m. and 1:30 in the afternoon.
That is so
fantastic.
Those
are my two stage spots on Grove stage. Seriously. So come and see that show, because I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I've done a bunch of work, and the show has been fleshed out a little bit. And there's going to be some sword swallowing and some fire eating and some other stuff happening there, and I'm looking forward to it. If you are the kind of person who likes to get to special events and have a little bit of extra in your festival day, I will also be at the Pagan Swig. I will be at the
Wine.
Off the Vine Wine Tasting. Yep. I will be at the Mead Social, and I will be Sunday 2 o'clock
feast.
Yeah. Sunday 2 o'clock feasts.
Rad.
I will be
One of my favorite.
I'm going to be running around all fucking over Kingdom Come doing special events.
Is that the name of the kingdom? Come.
That's also dumpster.
That's also your baby daddy right there.
Whoa.
Awkward.
But
that's sadly accurate.
So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be running around like a chicken that has with my head cut off. And don't cut
off your head. That's really going to hinder your performance.
It's going to be good.
Or it would help, actually. No. Like
it's on the plus side. On the plus side, I did a lot of special events last year.
Yeah,
and I've got a case that I carry around all of my props in. Mm-hmm. And last year, I was carrying that fucking case around everywhere. And that thing is heavy, because I've got a lot of shit that I swallow.
Yeah.
This year, I have made a travel kit, if you will. Just the things that I need for my little appearance.
It's like a travel toothbrush, but he swallows it.
Indeed.
You don't swallow your toothbrush?
So I will be a much happier person.
I would go through a lot less toothbrushes if I stopped swallowing
And
them.
A lot more metal detectors.
Well.
Whatever you do, use a different toothbrush for your vagina dentata.
A
movie and a book. Yep.
That's what I'm going to be doing. Yeah. I am going to be all fucking over the place doing shows, and I am going to be swallowing so many things.
Awesome. No, yeah.
I had a date like that once.
Yeah, no, I actually, somebody, a relation of mine, I can't remember if it was my brother or sister or aunt or uncle or somebody that is a relative.
I think your brother's been on your Facebook an awful lot lately.
I can't remember who exactly was asking me how many things I'm going to be swallowing in an average day. And it was, I actually had to stop and think about it. And I was like, I am going to be swallowing just the sword. That's not including all the other shit that I'm going to be swallowing over the course of a day. Just the sword I'm going to be swallowing about 5 times a day.
Jeez.
So it's going to be busy.
Yeah.
So let's see. If you've got like the arrows and the pool cue.
Yeah. Arrows, pool cue. I've got a sigh now. I've got a katana.
I've heard that's full of antioxidants.
Let's call it five things a special events performance, right? Like, because you do...
Off the Vine, Pig and Swig, and...
I really want to know the math on this now. Yeah.
So off the Vine, Pig and Swig, and Mead Social, plus two shows a day, that's five. On Sundays, it'll be six.
Yeah.
Because I'm also putting Feast in there.
Right. But you do... I assume you swallow more during your actual show shows during my as actual show, to I, yeah, the absolutely. Special events.
During special events, I just do the arrows and the sword that I actually swallow. During my show, then there's... I do a couple arrows, then I do more arrows, and then I have all my other... I don't want to spoil the show entirely, but there's a lot of stuff that ends up down my throat.
Even knowing about your show... Seeing your show was 100% worth it. I have now seen it three times,
And I've been working on it. I did the Janesville Renaissance Festival, and I did Friend in the Glen and stuff like that. Yeah. I kind of workshop a few things.
I'm gonna say on average you swallow 25 to 30 things a day.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's gonna be my rough estimate, not having seen your new show.
Yeah, that's probably about right. I could do the math, but yeah, that's. It's gonna I'm going to go through a lot of tea in the course of the
right.
day. It'll amuse the crowds, and I'm really
that's what we do it for.
Yep.
Yeah, the banner photo for your Casimir page.
Yes.
Everybody can go to Casimir on Facebook and like and follow.
How do you spell Casimir again?
Kazimir.
Okay, go to that.
And when you go to Casimir the Hungry on Facebook, it's the background banner image of you standing in the feast hall, dropping the sword in, and the reaction behind you. You can see just the complete range of reactions behind you, including my favorite is the one person with their hands just covering their face completely. No, I know, microphone. Covering their face completely and just...
The one that looks like they're going to puke, or the one that's just in shock?
He's horrified.
I love it.
It
makes me happy. No, honestly, those are the reactions that make me really happy. But Grove Stage, for those of you who are not aware, is in the Shade, which is
Shade Grove,
so good. Love. Because, I mean, between swallowing a sword and eating fire, I literally spend like 60% of my show looking straight up.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Not having the direct sunlight is going to be way better.
Right.
Way better. I'm very, very happy about that.
Have you figured out any eclipse glasses jokes yet?
Nope. I'm looking forward to that. I really think it's going to be a good year.
Good.
So.
Yay.
Yay.
I am entirely super pumped. Cool. I have something that I promised I would talk about that's totally unrelated, and I actually need your help.
Okay. You had your shot earlier.
So that it can be an audio play.
Well, do we have anything else about Fest we want to touch on?
Not
before?
Really. I just want to give James shit.
No, that's fine. That's fair. Wanted to make sure.
Cool.
So when I point to salsa, I want you to make the THX sound.
Okay.
Okay, can you do that for me? Okay, and then when I point at the ceiling, stop. And when I point at you, I'd like to have you say hello in your most... cordial introductory.
Hello.
Perfect. Okay. So, and then again, when I point to the ceiling, stop.
Well, I only say hello once, right?
Kind of.
Okay.
When an Amazon Echo or Echo Dot boots up for the first time,
oh my God, yes.
It sounds like...
Hello.
So... and that's the way, and then Alexa does this brief little intro, like, use the Amazon program on your phone to do this and connect to the Wi-Fi in order to set up your Echo, blah, blah, blah. I have a Dot, and I have discovered a bug in the programming for the Dot, and it's extremely specific. It's only when I'm listening to one very particular podcast over Bluetooth, a podcast called Lore, which is a podcast that is effectively, it's the podcast form of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Only in addition to telling the story, Aaron Mankey goes through the history of this thing. And some of the things are based on fact, like H.H. Holmes or Elizabeth Battery or, you know, that kind of thing.
Pause for a second. For years I've wanted to portray Elizabeth Battery.
Oh,
Because I think I would be fucking amazing at it. Right?
That would be incredible.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so the Halloween's fucking coming up.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
So, yay! My favorite time.
It's the most wonderful.
Right. Go ahead. You're correct. So, when I would set a timer, the timer, and I was listening to this one podcast, I would set the timer and the timer would go off at the regular time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to be able to ask Alexa how much time is left. And you just say, Alexa, how much time is left? And then she says, on your 5-minute timer, there are 2.5 minutes remaining, blah, blah, blah. You know, 15-minute timer, there are 7 minutes and 35 seconds remaining, whatever. So if you're playing lore over Bluetooth, it fucking breaks Alexa.
Okay.
That is the only podcast I've found that does it. And
so we're trying to break people's podcasts?
The way that it... No.
Okay.
No.
No, we're trying to break Alexa.
No, it's...
We're trying to fix
this
Alexa.
This is a way to avoid the problem. The only... So what happens is that when you ask Alexa how much time is left in the middle of the lore podcast, she will start to answer and then suddenly shut off, and then you hear...
Hello.
And it's not... She doesn't even complete hello. So she just says, hell. And then...
Hell. Hell.
Right. Hell. Over and over and over again until you unplug it and stick a pin in the underside for 30 seconds.
Giggity. Oh my God. I did have a date like
that. So you had a mystery date like that.
Yeah, once. I did.
That's weird and terrifying. And it's... only that one podcast. So
interesting.
Yeah, Amazon sent me a replacement.
Any episode or
any episode? Hmm. Just that podcast.
Neat. I love it.
So I sent it to Aaron Menke over Twitter, and he went, "Huh."
Excellent.
That's weird. Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Good. Oh my. That's all.
All right, then.
Cool. Well, that is a PSA from James.
Yeah. Just ominous sound, the word hell, and then ominous sound in a complete loop over and over. There you go.
You know what Alexa needed?
An Alexorcism?
A little bit of coffee.
Oh.
Ooh.
She wasn't able to wake up.
Yeah. Oh,
she needed some coffee.
I forgot to order my cold press. Oh!
Bum, bum, bum.
Guess what I'm doing when I get home?
Ordering cold press?
Yeah, actually.
And what, if you had to name a coupon code that you would use, what would that be?
Do I get to name it?
You get to say it.
Apropos.
Where are you going to use such a coupon
like
apropos. Code?
I'm going to use it at True Stone Coffee, you guys.
Yes. TrueStoneCoffee.com?
Yeah.
What?
I've heard their coffee is the best and that their
really
people
is.
Are the best also.
That's also true.
Yes.
And
I bet if I order it tonight, I can still get it in time for Fest because they deliver real quick on a lot
yeah,
of
they
that
do.
Stuff.
No, they move.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Well, because their coffee is the freshest.
Yeah, it is.
You get that coffee, and it's got a born-on date right on there, and it says that it was made yesterday, and that's the freshest fucking coffee you're ever going
to
get.
Usually, when you say something was born yesterday, it's an unkind thing to say. However, when it's coffee, that means it's
great.
Extra
no, it's,
good.
It's fucking great, and we're going to get some cold press for Fest.
Woo!
I won't be because I can't have caffeine because it dries out the throat and I need my throat nice and moist and supple. I honestly love my new sideshow career and at the same time I really like there are some things I can't have any alcohol during the day. I can't have any caffeine during the day. I can't eat a lot. There are drawbacks.
Yeah.
Who would have thought to this lifestyle that I have become accustomed to at this point? But if I could have coffee, I would definitely be getting True Stone Coffee for
100%.
My festival mornings.
I go to bed at 3 and I get up at 6:30 when I'm out there. And there's no way that I would survive that
nope.
if it were not for True Stone Coffee.
Yeah.
With the kids Raiderly is generally during the week the primary parent, because she gets the kids, you know, from daycare and stuff like that. And then it's another hour at least before I get home, and then we eat and put the kids to bed. So she is definitely, and during the festival day, the kids are backstage with her, because she has a stage with a backstage area. So when our nanny is on break or something like that, she generally has the kids. So the trade-off is, once we get to the campground, they're mine. And she, you know, which is absolutely fair. You know, I would love to see my kids during the day, but I don't fucking have time. So I take care of the kids in the evening. And so I'm usually in at this point in bed at a reasonable time.
By like nine tops.
Because the kids go to bed, and the kids, of course, are at that age where they don't just go to bed. They're up until God knows what hour playing and stuff like that. So some of you have to literally sit in the tent with them and say, no, get to fucking bed. And so by the time they finally go to sleep, I'm tired.
You're
because
done.
I've been fucking working all day. So I'm usually I'm usually crashed out.
Yeah, that is one of the things, like, people who have this idea that the after hours is like a giant orgy.
I never get invited to the orgies.
They don't
know
how
this.
Fucking tiring it is. It's playing all day.
It is very obvious. If you get on the shuttle at the end of the day, it is obvious who the entertainers are versus people who work at a booth. But I mean, like, food booths and stuff like that.
I think they could hear the look I gave you.
I consider games to be entertainment. I'm talking about like food booths, because CKC, though, they do like 4 hours,
right,
or something like that.
Yeah, it depends on the person.
They are obviously legally limited to a certain number of hours.
But this is not to disparage food booth people in any way, shape, or form. By the way, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but legally, you can only work X amount of hours. Whereas in entertainment, you're an independent contractor.
The more you earn.
All of it.
You're on salary, which means you work as much as needs to get done.
Yep.
And so you get on the shuttle at the end of the day, and it's obvious who are like food booth workers and who are entertainment. Because food booth workers are, you know, they're still having a good time. They're chatting, they're hanging out, they're like, hey,
we're gonna go over here, we're gonna do this thing.
And entertainers are sitting there going,
hey, can I sit next to you? Is there? Am I on the bus?
Yeah, like entertainers are fucking beat.
Yeah,
yeah.
We get to the campground, and all we want is to take our costume off and have a drink and sit.
Yeah.
Yep.
But see, for me, one of the things that long hikes during summer camping and long days doing nothing but standing up and running the rings has taught me, even just for the short amount of time that I've been doing it, for the couple of years, I stay up and I walk around a little bit. At the very least, I make a circuit of the grounds and just say hi to people and that kind of thing. Number one, because I like seeing people, seeing what's going on, but also, and some of my like best and weirdest experiences have been had because of that, but also because if I do get the fuck out of that costume immediately, but and I do sit down a little bit, but I make sure before I go to bed that I get up and I stretch my legs, because otherwise there's no way that I'm doing another day of it. Yeah. So
when we say that for the next 7 weeks we are going to be exhausted,
we are going to be fueled primarily by coffee. Not swallowing swords,
go to truestonecoffee.com. You should put in the promo code
apropos.
Apropos is how it's spelled.
And get 10%
it's spelled apropos. It's
and get 10% off your coffee. That coffee gets sent directly to your doorstep. It's got a date written on it that says when that was roasted, so you know exactly how old it was and when it was made fresh. So you know you're getting the freshest, tastiest coffee.
They pick the perfect roast for every bean.
Yeah,
so
they do
that. They support this show. We support them because we believe in them and what
like a well-fitting bra. We
and
support
we
them.
Do.
I like that. Well done, sir.
If you can't be a local company, be a local company supporter.
Yeah,
and that is what we are.
So, quick thing.
Yes.
So I set up my tent last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first time setting up on this platform that I got.
Okay.
Yeah. Which was well built, and I'm very excited to be there. And then trying to set up a tarp. And I did all of this by myself.
Mm-hmm. High five.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't you have a daughter?
She was not feeling well that morning.
Wow.
I'm not, and I wasn't coming back out later to do it. I was getting it done that morning. Fair. So, yeah, she was not
then
feeling
just,
well.
Just, like, swaddle her, bring her out there, and just use her as a weight for one end of the tarp.
But I think, so here's the thing. So I set up this tarp, and I think it's gonna be okay.
Ooh, I heard the question mark attached to the end
of
that.
I've never actually done this before. So, like, I, on the one side, like, I've got kind of like a fence thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like, bungeed every hole to the fence with, like, mini bungees, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah.
And then on the top, I hooked it into the tarp of my neighbor's because we've got, like, this A-frame kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was told it was fine.
Okay.
Like, it would be okay.
Okay.
And I'm really hoping that's
Did you tie the middle where they're lashed together? Did you tie that to beams or some kind of a structure?
Yeah, it's over beams.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, right. No.
So they're not just lashed together forming a giant sail.
They ended up taking over more of the space because it it's two platforms that are
adjacent.
Same platform but next to each other. So, they're like, kissing. I let them have more of the platform space because I only needed the one tent.
You're tiny?
My tent's not. Are you kidding? I got carpet on the floor.
We can talk about tent, I think, at some other point.
Next
week.
Yeah. So, here's the thing, though, is that we had storms on Sunday. Like, fucking storms.
Yep. So we'll find out what county everybody's tent is in.
Right. I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to find out. If my tarp is still up, then fucking win.
So that when people are asking, did Fest move? Not on purpose.
No. Right.
With tents, you're really looking for, because for those of you who don't know, those tents live there for 9 weeks, sometimes more. So really what you need is a couple things. Drainage and ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as long as you've got those two things, you're probably okay.
I think ventilation, maybe not as much. I've got drainage on that tarp.
Okay.
I've got some ventilation. So, but I also have, like, basically I have a front porch, so that's sweet.
Neat.
Yeah, that's always handy because
you need
trying to get the tent flap open when you've got rain pounding against you is a bitch and a half. Yeah. So
also being able to take your shoes off outside.
Yeah. Yes.
But you have outside, you need drainage for a couple of reasons. Number one, because if water pools on top of it, it'll crush your tent. And number two, fucking mosquito breeding ground. Like, fucking
God, right.
And this is Minnesota, so when we get mosquitoes, we get fucking mosquitoes. And ventilation, so when you do get wet, it'll dry as opposed to turning to mold.
I will say, last year, my tent did not get tarped, and it was dry the entire time.
Oh, wow.
It's real quality. It's a Coleman, so super good, solid tent. Right. But, yeah, I always get nervous because the longer you have a tent, there's wear and tear. Like, I don't care how good the tent is.
And like I said, they're there for almost 2 months.
Right.
They get put through.
Tents are not usually designed for that kind of punishment.
Yep. Anyway, let's take a break.
Cool.
We can talk about tents more next week, and then we'll be right back after this. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we are going to do a thing that you probably are already aware of what
we're
going to be doing now.
No idea.
It's called the Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
I know, right?
Whoa.
That one had a little extra thrust.
That was awesome. You couldn't have planned that.
I wish I could recreate that.
That was that was so great.
Thank you, Dr. Pepper. I am, of course, having a Dr. Tiki as my afterburst.
Anyway, we are going to do a Fast Five. For those of you who do not know how this works, Fast Five is we are sent two emails. One of them has five A or B choices.
Yes.
Yay.
And then we go down the list one at a time, and that's all we know is the two choices.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after we have made our choices, we go and open the second email and find out what the context of those choices was and find out if we have everything to regret or if we feel pretty good about ourselves.
I never feel good about myself.
I mean, that's just kind of your default state. So.
Right, yeah.
This week... Our Fast Five come to us from the person who gave us the drinks tonight.
Yay!
Yay, Stuffin.
Yep, the Stuffins.
Stuffinses.
Yep. The
is there an apostrophe in that
family,
salsa?
Family Stuffin. Yeah, they're Stuffins. Yes, it is, but it is after the S, not before the S.
Okay, good. Good.
Well, but if it's is it short for stuffings? Because if it is, then there's an apostrophe before and an apostrophe after the S.
Oh. I don't think it is. I think it's just stuffing.
I don't think it means what you think it means. Anyway, this comes to us from Mud. We love Mud. He gave us booze. He's a big supporter.
He's done everything required to
basically
be loved.
Basically, he is one of the good ones.
He's at the top of the list.
Absolutely.
I'm not even going to say near the top of the list. Right. He's at the top of the list.
And Fast Five questions. Who is making dinner? Is the theme.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Not it.
Question number one. Tater tot or steak fry?
I'm going to say steak fry for a poutine.
I'm going to say steak fry.
Like, I like steak fries in general.
Because it shares the initials with Stephen Fry, who is one of my favorite people.
I am going with tater tot because I find it is more versatile than the steak fry.
But then that's Ron White versus Stephen Fry.
Oh, God. Oh, shit.
Because he's tater salad.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's not tater tot.
That's how I'm choosing to interpret this.
But tater tot and tater salad are not even close to each other.
But they're both taters.
All
right.
Question number two. Question number two. Chicken breast or turkey breast?
Oh,
this is easy. Chicken.
I'm not fond of turkey. I like
turkey prepared particular ways.
I like turkey sandwiches. I like deli turkey. I like roasted turkey. Deli turkey's good.
I find turkey.
Love turkey dark meat. That's like the best meat.
Turkey loaf.
I prefer chicken.
I haven't had turkey loaf.
It's barely meat. I love it.
Okay.
It's the spam of turkeys.
So, well,
James would call it bread because it has the word loaf in it. So that's his
trip.
All right. But I do prepare chicken breasts more because they come in those bags of like fucking eight. And then you just unfreeze them and bake them or fry them or whatever.
Yep.
They don't have that for turkey, which makes me sad.
Right.
And then I cry.
I'm going to say
turkey.
I'm going to say chicken because turkey legs out at Fast are a thing.
This is turkey breast.
No, I understand, but I'm choosing chicken over turkey.
Okay.
Because I will eat a chicken leg like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Okay. James is going the non-sequitorial route, I see.
Seems like.
Question number three. Pork loin.
You said loin.
Or pork chop.
Pork loin.
You said loin.
I gotta go pork loin on this one.
I kind of need to go pork loin too, mostly because loin.
Yep. I suppose, but they sell those pre-marinated the pork loins at the grocery store, and you just like
I just
wrap them up and throw them on the grill, and they're fucking amazing.
Pork chops, I have this association of always being too tough. Like, always. And it's probably because of how my mom cooked them, which was to death.
The
but
shit out of?
It's still, like, I just have that association, and then there's, like, the bone, and
The bone is really... With a pork chop, you need to work your way around that bone, whereas a pork loin, you just inhale.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
But there's also marrow. Fuck.
Marrow's good for you. What?
I know. That just suddenly made it a much more difficult
James
question.
James is going
for me.
With pork loin because he likes pig's feet. So
I'm
so this is how your logic has been working this entire episode.
I'm,
Between chicken breast and turkey breast, you're going with legs. So obviously,
I understand.
Your choices are between pig's feet and fucking crackling. So
I'm gonna choose pork chop because you get marrow with a pork chop.
James doesn't like pork rind, so he's obviously going with pork.
Right. Hell. Blah. Somebody needs to reboot Jenna. Our Jenna dot has crashed.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I appreciate your nihilistic approach to the Fast Five.
If you can't be right, be discernibly wrong. That's why we pronounce it animated heef. Because I don't want to argue whether it's GIF or JIF. It's animated heef.
Yep, it's heef.
Because then I know I'm wrong. People go, well, that's not right. And you go,
this
uh-huh.
is delightful.
Yeah. Fuck, it's been a long time. Wow, is she...
Not only is this delightful, it's live? Delicious, it's de-lovely.
It's DeLorean.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate you. You're fantastic, and I hate you.
Love you.
Bye, love you,
stop
bye.
Loving me so much.
It's accurate. Okay.
I mean that's how
it's
our daughter
delicious,
was conceived.
It's delightful. It's
she had a mystery date like that once.
Yeah. Question number four.
Yes.
Shrimp or scallop?
Scallop.
Shrimp.
All day. They're the marshmallows shrimp. Of the sea.
Shrimp. I know scallops are just, they don't quite do it.
So well. Good.
They're, no. Nope.
I'm sticking with it.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
The topic is who is making dinner. I personally prefer cooking scallops.
Ooh, yeah. Mm.
I love both of them. I will eat seafood all yep. day and be happy, yep. but as far as preparing the actual food preparation, I prefer making scallops.
Bacon-wrapped scallops.
Yes.
Yep.
I've never had bacon-wrapped scallops. So.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that's the thing, but like scallops on their own...
If they're done properly, they're very tender.
Yeah.
If they're done improperly, it's like
you gotta make
like,
sure, you gotta
like
make
sure bumper them, like, from a Volkswagen. A little chewy on the outside, so
oh, I mean,
see, so you're doing
well. I'm not doing it. I don't cook scallops. Well,
so there's a little muscle on the side that you, mm-hmm. you have to make sure that you remove before yes. cooking.
Okay,
and then yeah, gotta
yeah, all right.
a lot of butter and garlic.
Maybe I've just had bad scallops.
It's possible,
entirely possible.
Question number five.
Marshmallows of the sea.
Question number five. Soda or beer?
Beer.
Soda. Although if I'm going to cook with, if I am making dinner,
beer.
I will use Guinness in my Guinness stew yeah. because otherwise it's not Guinness stew.
Or
it's
a nice
stew.
Beer batter.
Some
beer
people
cheese.
Make chicken, and you can have beer can chicken, or you mm-hmm. can have Coke can chicken.
I've never had Coke can chicken.
It's good.
I'm sure it has the same effect.
I've used kind of whiskey, wine, and apple juice, but I've never used
the meat
Coke or
yeah.
beer. So
beer.
I would say beer. You can cook more things in beer. And
also,
out of
if,
beer.
If I'm doing like yeah. a sauce reduction,
yeah,
put in a little lager in that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I would say I'd be more likely to use beer in cooking than Coke, even with knowing that that's
sure.
apparently a thing. So.
I mean, it's kind of a thing.
Okay.
Eh.
All right. Well, thank you so much to Mud. Those were the questions. Now we are going to find out what our context is.
Yay, yeah. context.
and he starts out by saying, writing Fast Fives when you are hungry. Result in food-related topics.
Fair.
Yep.
All right.
Makes sense.
Now I'm hungry, so god damn it.
Yeah.
Question number one, tater tot or steak fry? Which potato product would be better improved by being wrapped in bacon?
Oh, son of a
shit.
Bitch. See, the problem is that I love steak fries on their own, and if we're going on pure improvement, I would say tater tot.
I'm going with tater tot.
I feel like there's more to improve with tater tot.
For the same reason I said the first time around, is it's more versatile, plus the shape of it is more conducive to being wrapped in bacon.
But there's that, but also it's bite-sized.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like with a steak fry, you're like holding onto the steak fry and the bacon and that kind of stuff, and I'm sure it's good.
Tater tot, you just toss
tater tot, you just pop
yeah.
in.
Okay, yep. All right.
Tater tot, 100%.
I'm sold. Question number two, turkey breast or chicken breast? Which meat would be more improved by being wrapped in bacon?
Chicken breast, actually. I've done bacon-wrapped chicken before, and it is the most incredible thing ever. It is the way to keep your chicken boobs tender.
But a BLT.
What? No.
That has bacon, turkey. Lettuce, and turkey. So BLTT.
What you actually do is the chicken breast has kind of it's kind of teardrop shape.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you cut the tip off and kind of fold it over, so you have more of a rectangular piece of meat, and then wrap that in bacon.
I've never done it that way.
And it cooks more evenly, and you have this little bacon-wrapped package.
Hmm.
I actually, what I tend to do is slice the chicken breast horizontally, so that you've got the
cordon bleu type thing.
Yeah, flappy bit. And you can wrap it that way.
Yeah.
Or you can just put some bacon in the middle, fold it back over.
Some cheese.
I can't do cheese, but I would recommend cheese for those that can. And then you wrap that motherfucker in bacon. Yeah,
gotta go chicken.
Yep.
Also, you can do applesauce in the middle and or on top.
Yes.
I've had a bacon explosion with cheese and fajita chicken in the center.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
I believe it.
You do realize that the chicken with applesauce in the core is like the chicken version of the Juicy Lucy?
Oh, baby, yeah.
God damn, I'm hungry now, Mud.
God damn it.
Moving on. Question number... I haven't eaten yet. God damn it. Question number three. Pork loin or pork chop? Which pork product would you prefer to have wrapped in bacon?
God damn it.
Pork loin.
Pork loin.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier to cut, easier to set up.
Easier to wrap.
Yep.
Question number four.
Oh, sure, Lisa. A magic animal.
Shrimp or scallop? Which seafood item...
I got this one right.
Do you like more with bacon wrapped around it?
Yes!
And it's scallops.
You did. Yep. You actually called this shit.
Totally.
I am guessing I would prefer a scallop wrapped in bacon, but
fucking incredible.
As long as that scallop in...
Like the crunch of crispy bacon around a scallop.
Yeah. And it's got to be crispy, too. Because if it's... crunch.
I could see... frying bacon with shrimp, but wrapping the shrimp? That just sounds like a pain in the ass.
I don't think I've ever seen bacon wrapped shrimp.
I haven't
either. Really?
Yeah, on top of a Bloody Mary.
Oh, okay.
But
delightful, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
What I would probably do is sear the scallops, then wrap it in the bacon, and then put it in the oven.
Yes.
So that the bacon gets nice and crispy.
Broil it.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the way to go. Question number five. Which soda or beer? Which drink would be grosser if bacon flavoring was added?
I gotta go
beer.
I have
actually had bacon flavored soda.
As have I.
Ugh.
Anybody who is a fan of Blue Sun Soda Shop has probably at some point tried the bacon soda.
If the beer was bacon and maple syrup, I could see that maybe. But I also don't like beer, so I'm gonna say beer. Like it's automatically gross.
Yeah, that's fair. Legit. I have never had just purely bacon soda. But I had a bacon ranch soda, and that is one of the worst things. A friend of mine sent it to another podcast.
The ranch soda itself is also terrible, so it's probably the ranch.
It could easily be. Somebody,
because the bacon soda was drinkable.
Sent it to a different podcast.
It wasn't great.
Tested it on air along with a number of candies and other sodas and things, and they said, and pretty accurately, they reviewed it as smelling like kid puke.
That seems reasonable.
Yep.
No.
Yep, so
no.
I'm going to go soda.
Okay.
Because.
All right. Well, that has been our Fast Five for this week.
Fast Five.
If you have a Fast Five that you would like to hear, please send two emails to salsa at aonpodcast.com. The first one with the A or B choices, the second one with the A or B choices and the context. That way we don't have to jump back and forth. And go ahead and get those sent in, because we have a few left that are all from Mud, and we want to intersperse these a little bit.
And also, if we have not heard from you in a little while, or ever, if you're brand new to sending us Fast Fives, we will put you at the front of the line.
What? Yep. No budging. Totally budging.
But yes, please totally do, like we said, we started fresh when James joined the podcast. We got rid of everything that we had previously, so we do not have the 2013 backlog that we had going back. So we do need Fast Fives from you, dear listener. If you have never sent one in before,
the freshy freshies,
do not be ashamed that we are going to think your Fast Five is lame or something like that, because
it's way better than
ours. It's going to be better than the shit that we come up with.
And if you did send one in, and if it for any reason did not get read, then send it the fuck in again.
Do it.
100%. Just resend.
But we do encourage you to. It's not that difficult to do.
They both drowned.
And we do love hearing from you. With that, do we have anything else to plug?
Renaissance Festival, yo. That's a thing.
If you're in Minnesota at any point in the next
two fucking months.
Katie,
get your ass over here.
We're looking at you, Katie.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to test out those lungs on our Minnesota dust at Fest.
Oh my God.
So
that's like testing a new
way to sell it to
dropping
her.
No, off a cliff.
Katie, come to Minnesota. Katie. We will bring you out to the Renaissance Festival. We will show you all of the best places to go. We will do our best to make sure that your lungs are given the best care possible. And then we are going to take you to various places.
Yeah, like, we are.
Ethiopian food and Moscow on the Hill for vodkas and get some poutine. And you should definitely do that. And we really, really, really want to get you here.
Katie, because AONCon
does not happen without you, Katie.
Katie.
Lubke.
God damn it.
By the way, Katie, in case you hadn't noticed, we really want to meet you.
Yeah.
And if you
we're
are not,
we're not coming to Australia. There's things trying to kill us.
I would
down
absolutely
there.
Love to go to Australia.
There are enough things that want us dead here.
Right.
That's like not to say that any other listener would be shunned if we were to, say, meet you in the street. If you were to come up to any of us and say, hey, we listen to your podcasts and we like your show or we hate your show or want to give any feedback in any way, shape, or form or just want to shake our hand.
If you tell us that you hate the show, we know you've listened.
Yes. by all means, do. I as long as I'm not in the middle of a performance or running from point A to point B, if you come up to me and say, hey, love the show.
So, you know, between the hours of 9 to 9:45 and then like 5:45 to close.
I sincerely do want to hear from you. If you see us in the streets, I would love to hear you shake your hand. Just know that somebody's listening.
Thank you. I was like, I want to make a cricket noise, and I don't know how to make a cricket noise.
Well, with that, we are going to get out of your hair, go drink some True Stone, and eat the fucking...
I can't do it.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
This is me testing my microphone. Testy, 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 testy.
Detest? Testing. Booyah Bays based jokes. Booyah Bays based jokes.